Jude 17 through 23, I'm reading here, right picking up in verse 17. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. We're continuing with our consideration of how to contend for the faith. And what we read here, to contend for the faith, we must keep ourselves in God's love. To keep ourselves in God's love, we saw last week in the first part of verse 20 that we must build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Today, we're focusing on the second part of verse 20. We must pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, Jude instructs all believers to pray in the Holy Spirit. And that is, all believers are called to pray according to the will and direction of and by the power of the Holy Spirit. All believers receive all of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity that indwells us when we believe in our hearts, confess with our mouths, and accept into our lives Jesus Christ as both Lord and Savior. In fact, Romans chapter 8, verse 9 tells us that we belong to Christ because we possess the Holy Spirit, because we have the Holy Spirit, because the Lord has us. And because of that, we belong to Christ. This means that every time we pray, we can pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, we may not pray in the Holy Spirit because we are praying, we are talking to God, but we're not really talking to God. We're just expressing our own desires. The Bible says that we may not be praying in the Spirit because we are praying in the flesh according to our own desires. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, when you ask of God, when you pray, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend it, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. But the Bible is also very clear that as we crucify our desires and yield to the Holy Spirit, we can pray in the Holy Spirit. As we continue to yield to the transforming work of the Holy Spirit to make us more like Jesus, we experience the infilling, the overflow, the baptism of the Holy Spirit throughout our lives. It's not just a one and done. It's to keep being filled with the Spirit. And as we receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit and learn to obey His voice, we bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit and exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit to glorify God, serve others, and advance the kingdom of God. So in the past few weeks, as we've learned that we don't contend against flesh and blood, but rather our spiritual warfare is against principalities and powers, I've referred to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, about putting on the armor of God in order to stand firm when the day of evil comes. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, having explained that our contention for the faith is to stand our ground against the forces of darkness, Paul states exactly what Jude states over here. He says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying. Keep on praying in the Spirit for all the Lord's people. So let's get into a little bit more detail on what it means to pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit, praying in general, prayer as just a general principle here. Praying in the Spirit is a conversation with God and should be made without ceasing. Or as 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, in other translations or versions render it, we should be praying continually. You know, when I was younger and I would read that verse in the translation that says, pray without ceasing, I thought, how is this possible? How do you do this when you're asleep? And how do you just pray without ceasing, right? And I realized there is a practical application to that, so that you're not thinking of prayer as something you do only when you're in a specific place or only at a specific time or only when you have a certain shirt on. Or, you know, you pray all the time. Whenever you're doing something, you're cooking, you're cleaning, you're driving, you're, you know, working, and, you know, your boss is asking you a question, whatever, you know, just be praying. That you would be speaking to the Lord and you're continuing to communicate with Him and you're listening to the Lord. So prayer without ceasing is possible in that regard, right? That we would do that. But also, I would encourage you that before you go to bed, right, rather than binge watching whatever you are binge watching, read some scripture, pray, and go to sleep. And pray for sleep, pray for sound sleep, pray for the rest of the Lord. And I have found when I have done that, my dreams are different, right? And my thought, everybody dreams. You may not remember your dreams in the morning, but everybody's dreaming. So pray for the Lord to continue to speak to you. Because the Psalm says that even when I am asleep, even in the night watches, even when I am at rest, you speak to me, right? And there have been times in my life, and I know that there have been times in your life, you have been woken up in the middle of the night and you go, oh. And you know that the Lord has said something to you or dropped something to you, and He's just communicating with you and allowing you to have that sense for who He is and what He's speaking. So praying without ceasing is not impossible. It's just how much we would depend on the Holy Spirit to make that possible, to actually flesh that out in our lives. But so here, praying continually, praying without ceasing, praying where we're just always thinking about and talking to and, you know, wanting to be in communion and in communication with God. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, praying this way is the will of God for you, right? So if you're struggling with knowing the will of God, you know, how many people have you heard you say who say, I don't know what God's will is. I don't know what I should be doing. I don't know what God wants from me. Well, here's an answer. The Bible says, it is the will of God for you to pray. So even if you don't know anything else, you have uncertainty about what next step to take, you are certain about one thing, pray now. Pray. And prayer in that kind of communication as a conversation with God is not about methods. It's not to burden us with rules and rituals. It's to build our relationship with God. It's not about how eloquent you are in your prayer. It's not about being heard by others. Oh, they heard me pray and they said you pray really well. None of that. It's about our conversation with God. Prayer is foremost the expression of a love relationship with an all-wise, all-loving, all-powerful, all-willing, all-holy Father God. We won't grow in that relationship if we're not talking to our Father, if we're not involved in that communication. And as we grow in that love for the Lord, we will naturally desire to talk to Him. As we grow in our knowledge of God, His character, His promises, His desires, we are then able to pray more specifically and according to His will. And then as we pray in the Spirit, as Jude points out, we grow closer to God and build ourselves up in our faith. So since prayer is that significant, we need the help of God, the Spirit of God Himself, to enable and empower us to pray. Praying in the Spirit is prayer with divine help. It's trusting in faith and relying on God to hear and to understand and to act. And so that's the next point there on the slide, which is that praying in the Spirit is relying on the Spirit to pray. And I'll move through very quickly on this, because in Romans chapter 8, verses 25 through 28, it sums it up very nicely, where it says, if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. When we don't know what to pray for, we can rely on the Holy Spirit, who not only can pray from within us, not only can prompt us, not only can inspire us, but prays according to the will of God, because the Holy Spirit is God. And that's the beauty of the Christian life. When we say, well, we need to pray, and when you can be confident that you will have what you ask for, when you ask according to the will of God, how could we ask according to the will of God except by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the work of the Holy Spirit? Otherwise, we'll ask according to our will, what is most urgent in our life, what is most sort of at the top of our minds. We'll say, oh, this is what I want, God. But the Holy Spirit may have something quite different for us to be focused on, to be praying for, to be attentive to. And so when we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to pray according to the will of God, because the Holy Spirit knows the mind of Christ, knows the will of God, and will prompt us to pray in those ways. So that's the power of the Holy Spirit. But an important point I want to note is that when the Spirit assists us, praying in the Spirit includes but is not synonymous with praying in tongues. And if praying in tongues is a topic that you don't know much about, I'm glad to have those conversations. We can follow it up in the sermon discussion. We can go back and listen to some of the messages on this topic from 1 and 2 Corinthians. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, Paul notes that when we speak to God, when we speak or pray in tongues, we are communicating with God. And then in 2 Corinthians 14, 4, he writes that when we speak or pray in tongues in that way, we edify. And that word edify quite literally comes from the Latin root from which we get the word edifice, buildings or some construction, some structure. And so it says, when we pray and we speak in tongues in that way, we edify ourselves. We build ourselves up. And so there is a benefit. There is a, and as I trust that each of you know, that we are continuationists in this church. We believe that the gifts of God have continued. They did not cease. And so when the gifts of God are in operation in our life, they allow us to be pressing into the Lord, to hear from the Lord, and to speak to him. And so praying in tongues, although it is not synonymous with praying in the Spirit, is a wonderful benefit that the Holy Spirit can bring to us, can give us. And so we eagerly desire to pray in tongues. Paul says, I desire that you would pray in tongues even more than me. Or I desire that you would all pray in tongues. Why? Because it builds us up. It helps us to be able to communicate with God in that way. So praying in the Spirit is relying on the Spirit to help us to pray and to pray and to communicate with God. And then the third point there, praying in the Spirit is praying in the security of being a child of God. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, Jesus describes religious hypocrites who prayed in public, who prayed in public places, so as to be seen by other people, rather than praying in the Spirit before God. And he refers to pagans who pray in a ritualistic way with specific repeated words. But Jesus told his disciples to pray differently, because they would be confident that God sees them and knows what they need even before they ask, just like a little child. Before that little child can even ask for that, the parent knows and is in relation and understands the desires of the child and is able to respond. It's only in as much as you know that God is your Father and that you can pray with intimacy rather than with religious ritual that you can pray with confidence. It's not about the repetition of your words. It's not about the time that you spend. It's not about the place that you go to. It's about the relationship that you would have with God that allows you to say, I am a child of God. I am secure in this relationship and this identity. I can boldly come to the throne of grace because there, sitting on the throne of grace, is my Father. Oh, this is a wonderful privilege. This is a wonderful blessing. Part of what it means then to pray in the Spirit is to pray with the Holy Spirit, is to pray with the help of the Holy Spirit, who constantly reminds us of our position as a child of God. And since we are God's children, and as such we are co-heirs with Christ, we can pray with the power of a child of God to a perfectly loving and attentive Father. That's the beauty of the Christian life. And when we studied Luke chapter 18, the account of Jesus receiving and blessing the little children, I mentioned that there are some characteristics of little children that we should emulate, and some characteristics of children that we should not emulate. And the characteristics of little children that we should emulate include love, joy, expectation, trust, humility, innocence, and dependence. So when we think of a little child, we would think of these words, you know, that they are expressing those things. And so we want to be like that when we come to our Heavenly Father. But characteristics of little children that we should not emulate include ignorance, selfishness, and stubbornness. You don't have to train a child to be stubborn. You don't have to train the child to be selfish. You don't have to tell them, this is sin, don't do this. They will find it out quite quickly and quite effectively, right? So we don't want to follow that kind of behavior of a little child that would do those things in a self-centered way. That says, my father doesn't love me because I didn't get my toy. I didn't get whatever. You know, I didn't get my answer. But rather that we would emulate the child's innocence and dependence and trust and expectation and so on. So we are not only to pray in the Spirit, we are to pray with this kind of expectation, these kinds of ways. But the Bible, as we've already seen, it not only says pray in the Spirit, it says pray with all kinds of prayer. And the Bible reveals many types of prayers and employs a variety of words to describe the practice of prayer or the discipline of prayer. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. There are four distinct Greek words used for prayer in that one verse. And so I've grouped just the different kinds of prayer that you would find in the Bible into five broad categories. Now, there are other ways to categorize the types of prayer, and there are other words that you can think of and so on. And, you know, there are ways in which you can say, okay, how do I understand this particular aspect of prayer and talking to God in this way? But these five categories, or these five just bullets here, will help us to at least categorize the way that the Lord would ask us to pray. And the first one there is the prayer of contrition or repentance. Because the Bible tells us that we can't come to the Lord unless we have been cleansed. We have been made new. We have been washed. A sinful human being cannot be in the presence of a sinless, almighty being. And therefore, the Lord has to cleanse us, wash us, and cover us with His righteousness so that we can be brought into His holy presence. And so the prayer of contrition, the prayer of repentance, this idea that we would say, I desire to be free of my sin, to be set free, to be washed clean, and to be made whole, that is the prayer that starts us on our journey, on our process, on our relationship with the Lord. And so we ask God to cause us to be cleansed. These are essential prayers for confessing wrongdoing and reconnecting with our forgiving Heavenly Father. Psalm 51, Luke 18, you know, even all of these verses that I'm referring to Luke 18, I was talking about Jesus speaking about the children coming to him, but then before that, he's talking about the tax collector and the Pharisee says, look at me, I'm a great man, and I pray. And the tax collector stands on the side there and says, oh God, I'm a sinner. And Jesus said, one person went away justified, and he wasn't speaking about the Pharisee, right? And so there is a need for us to come to the Lord in that kind of humility, in that kind of contrition, in that kind of the brokenness of heart that we would say, Lord God, I have sinned, and against you only have I sinned, and I ask you to forgive me, and I ask you to cleanse me. My transgression is great, but your love is greater. My sin is great, but your blood is greater. The power of what you can do, even as we were singing this morning, when we can go in our own way, the love of the Lord and the power of the Lord holds us close to him. And so we come to him in this way and say, Lord God, I repent. I have been going in this way. I want to turn around and heed your call. And I repent. And as I do that, oh, the power of the Lord Jesus comes and cleanses us and makes us new. And then when we are that new creation in Christ Jesus, the prayer that we pray is a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of supplication. It's making a request of God. It's making our petitions known to God. It's to pray for deliverance from evil and from all those things that would tempt and would continue to pull us aside or distract us, and to say, Lord God, I come to you and I commit my life to you so that I may walk in your ways, so that I would be sanctified, so that I would be maturing as a disciple of Christ, so that I will be prepared for when you return. And so we come to the Lord with this prayer of faith on a regular basis, supplication, right? We're coming with our request to God. We pray for those that are sick. We pray for the ones who need to be prayed for. We bring these requests to God, and we do it individually and corporately. And that's what is the next point there, that we would pray the prayer of agreement or intercession. That is to pray for somebody else. That is to pray with somebody else. So we are not isolated. As much as we would enjoy prayer with God or communication with God, God has intended for us to pray with our brothers and our sisters. And as we hear prayer requests, and as we join in that prayer, and as we hear the answers to prayer, oh, it builds us up. And it causes us to be even more encouraged to pray for one another, to pray for one another with deep and fervent intercession. All, you know, the book of the Acts and in other scriptures, you see all these references to the disciples, to the church, meeting together constantly in prayer. They would join together in fellowship and they would pray. They devoted themselves to prayer, it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Their example encourages us to pray with others. And then as we pray with others, as we have this intercessory kind of focus, we see the example of Jesus, who prays for his disciples, who prays for each of us who were to believe in him later. He says, there will be those that will believe. And I pray for them, not just these, but all of them who will come and who will believe and who will be joined into this body. And Jesus intercedes for us. He pleads for us. He continues to bring that intercession before the Father's throne even now. And so that is our responsibility. That is our example that encourages us to pray in that way. The next step of prayer is the prayer of thanksgiving, of worship, of adoration. And again, there are lots of scriptures, Philippians 4 and other places, where it talks about the prayer of thanksgiving and worship and adoration and coming to the Lord. Even before we see the answer to prayer manifest in the natural, we are able to thank God in our spirit, in praying in the spirit, because we know that if he has said this, it'll happen. That's the promise of the Lord. And so we depend on him. So the prayer of thanksgiving, worship, adoration, all of that. Worship is similar to the prayer of thanksgiving. The difference is that worship focuses on who God is. Thanksgiving focuses on what God has done. We're saying, thank you, Lord, for what you have done. And I'm maybe even before it has happened, that we would say, thank you, Lord, for what you have done. We adore you. We praise you. We worship you. We give glory to the name of the Lord. And so that becomes a constant refrain in our lives. if this is the pattern of our lives, praying in this manner, worshiping and adoring God, doing all of this, we're spending time in His presence, and we're not doing it to get something. We're doing it because there is the value of just doing it by itself. And as we do that, as we spend time in His presence, as we are just communicating with the Lord, as we're bringing intercessory prayer for others on, you know, to the Lord, we start to receive the guidance and the direction of God. We start to hear from God. We start to understand more of what His heart is. And in that understanding, in hearing from the Lord, we start to know, we start to hear, we start to understand, oh, this is the way, this is the step that I should take. And so prayer becomes very, very important in doing that. You know, and then we see these examples in Acts chapter 13 is one example, that as the church leaders in Antioch were praying, they were fasting and praying, they were worshiping the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. And then you see Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Paul. And then you read of Paul's missionary journeys and all of the things that took place. They were just worshiping the Lord. They're just seeking the Lord. They weren't starting out by saying, who should we send on the missionary journey? They were just worshiping God, spending time with the Lord. And the Lord says, consecrate for me, set apart for me these two men, and they're going to be sent out. Right? So the Lord will do that. He will put, you know, the mission in front of us, and He will enable the things that we have to do as we spend time in prayer. And then one more thing that I want to mention, or one more type of prayer here, the prayer of lament or trouble, right? When we are living in this earth, the Bible says, you will have trouble, which means you will have lamentations. That's a good thing. There's a book in the Bible called Lamentations. It's to prepare you. It's to tell you, you're going to cry. If you think that once you become a Christian, everything is beautiful, everything is, you know, bed of roses, everything will be wonderful and pleasant, and everybody will be friendly, and, you know, and no one will ever accuse you of doing something wrong. Well, the Bible says, prepare, prepare. And when you have those lamentations, when you have the trouble, guess what? Pray. Because the Bible says you can come and you can call out to the Lord and you can honestly tell Him. You read some of the Psalms those psalmists are pretty honest. They say, oh, you know, kill my enemy. You know, do this thing, Lord. They've been so unjust to me. They don't sugarcoat any of their emotion. They are lamenting. Or they say, I am so despondent. I am burdened down. My soul is weighed down. These are the kinds of terms that they use. Depression. I mean, today we call it depression. I mean, they didn't say that directly. But, you know, they were going through massive laments and troubles. And yet in the middle of it all, they honestly call out to the Lord and they say, Lord, save me, rescue me. I need you, Lord. I need you. I have to cast my anxieties on you. I need you, the Lord God of my salvation. I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry, for my soul is full of troubles and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength, like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. That's an encouraging psalm right there. But in the middle of that, there's a prayer answering God. There's a prayer answering God, because we can say, oh, remember, oh Lord, what has befallen us. Look and see. Oh, our inheritance has been turned over. We have become orphans. We're given no rest. But oh Lord, my God, light up my eyes. Ah, what refreshes us in the middle of the pit? What gives us light when we're darkness all around? Our God. Our God. He's a God who loves us and cares for us. So our only response can be that we would respond and apply the Word of God by praying in the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13, we read about Jesus teaching His disciples how to pray. He tells them to be specific with their requests. He says, believe that you will receive what you ask for, as you ask according to God's will. And He says, desire the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 17, Jesus describes the persistent petition of the widow who comes to the unjust judge and says, do this for me, do this for me, do this for me, do this for me. And the judge says, oh, I am an unjust judge. But because of this woman's persistence, I will do for her what she wants. How much more will your just and holy Father, who loves you dearly, respond when you say, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need a breakthrough. Lord, I need you to move. Jesus tells this story of the persistent widow seeking justice. He tells the story describes the humble prayer of the tax collectors. And then he tells his disciples not to restrict the children from coming to him because he is teaching us to persist in prayer. He's teaching us to pray in faith according to the righteousness of God, not our self-righteousness. And he's telling us to boldly approach the throne of grace as his loving child. In church, we have all these opportunities, whether it's during our Sunday morning worship service, or it's the women's prayer meeting, or it's the Wednesday evening prayer meeting, or it's the monthly fasting and prayer meeting on the first Saturday, or it's the 21 days of prayer and fasting at the beginning of the year, and then spring week of prayer just before Resurrection Sunday, or the fall week of prayer that is in the time of the biblical fall festivals, and that's coming up October 6th through the 12th. We'll be in that week of prayer, whether we have prayer meetings or prayer times during all these other activities and so on. Our goal is that we would be a church that prays, because the Bible says that this is something that is important and it is life transforming. I can't explain to you all the ways in which we are changed, because it happens for each one of us according to the Lord's work in us. It doesn't happen the same way in each one of our lives. But when we pray with all kinds of prayer, in all occasions, when we pray in the Holy Spirit, the Lord does hear and answer. The Lord does do his work. The Lord transforms. The Lord makes his power manifest. And we see the power of the Lord manifest in the world, in our lives, in our families, in our church, for the benefit of the world. That's the promise of the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that your call is to pray without ceasing. Lord, we thank you that your call is to pray with all kinds of prayer. Help us, Lord, to understand what that means. And help us, Lord, to pray, to be obedient to this command, to pray with all kinds of prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that you are good, that you are loving, that you are kind. Let the word resonate in our hearts and in our minds, but Lord, let the word cause us to take action this week. Maybe today, maybe through the rest of this week, this week for each one of us. You show us, Lord, individually, and you show us corporately what step we can take to just be pressing in prayer. To pray in the Holy Spirit. Lord God, maybe it is to take a little bit more time. Maybe we are rushed in our times of prayer. Maybe it's to be a little bit more disciplined in our time of prayer. Maybe it is to wait on you and listen to you, not just to speak. Lord, whatever you need each one of us to be doing, help us during this week to put this into practice, to pray in the Spirit. Lord, to press into you and to know that the Lord who hears our prayers will make a way, will keep his promise. He will never fail. We praise you. We worship you. We pray this together in Jesus' name. Amen.